Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls today. New Life Live. Great day for New Life.
I'd like to thank all of you guys because you really, about 2 years ago, saved my life.
It's definitely a godsend in my situation right now.
The car or us?
No. The car is a 2008 Ford Mustang. I'm in love with it.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a hard call. I think I might go for the car.
Yeah. We have to go on vacation with them. We can't take our own vacation.
Why? Whoa.
Talk about what's been lost. The anger represents something that's lost.
As a Christian, I have the security that even though I know I'm going to sin until the day I die, I have accepted Jesus' forgiveness.
God's word is not in conflict.
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Hey, Henry, how are you today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I am great. And, I mean, great. I feel great. And hope everybody that's listening today feels great. Henry, We have been together a couple of days doing some programs, and it seems there seems to have been a theme of, and it's like something you wouldn't think you'd be hearing about today, but you do. Women under the thumb of a man. And that's not the big issue for me, but them declaring it as a biblical principle that they're following through on. By turning a woman into a
the men declaring that.
Yeah. And I thought we were making progress in that area.
It's not an all or nothing world, Steve.
Yeah. It is for me, buddy.
We're making progress.
It is for me.
There's still the remnants who kind of think that somehow it's really weird when you hear people turn control issues into kind of spiritual platitudes.
Yeah,
which I think you hear in a lot of different ways, and there's a larger concept that reminds me of. And
okay, what's
Jesus,
that one?
Because the content changes, I think, in various communities and various denominations and various churches. But Jesus said one time that there were teachers that laid heavy burdens upon people's shoulders.
And didn't even help them.
Yeah. He said, with as much as a finger.
Mm.
And then he went further to say that those teachers aren't entering in themselves,
mm-hmm.
nor are they allowing other people to enter in. And there, a lot of times, you know, there are kooky Christian teachings
mm-hmm.
that keep people from entering into the processes of the New Testament that and the Old Testament that God talks about.
Right.
Gatekeepers.
I think that it
shows you why most of the times, what's the percentage? I don't know, huge, that Jesus was mad. He was mad at the preachers.
He was.
The priests.
Yeah.
The teachers.
Yeah.
The gatekeepers.
You know what I like to remind people of when they're looking at who Jesus really was? You know, he was a man of a great spectrum of feelings. Mm. A lot of times the great religious gurus, whether it's Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi, Pee Wee Herman, some of the bigger, you know, folks and people, you get this idea that they're just, it's all
Yeah, sort of above it all.
Yeah. Boy, Jesus wasn't that way. I mean, he was angry. He was ticked. He backtalked a little bit.
Picture the Pope walking into some ceremony and getting mad and turning the tables upside down in a rage and screaming at people and chasing them out of the building.
And say, hey, thanks a lot for all this you're doing here, but you know what? I'm more interested in what's on the inside there than I am all this stuff on the outside. Everybody go, whoa.
Where did he
what
come
is
from?
That
heaven.
They'd say,
maybe.
You know, Christ, that's not being very Christian. You know, you need to be more Christian, Christ. Because they don't think that's valid. But Jesus was upset at the religious injustices put upon people.
Yep.
And we want to set people free. That's what God came for, freedom. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of your phone calls right here. Or we'll start with your phone calls here on New Life Live. Glad you called us today for New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, look at us. We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. And let's go over here to Paul from Anchorage, Alaska, listening on KATB. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call, and I just enjoy you guys' ministry tremendously, and I'm very grateful to be able to support you guys.
Well, thank you. And, my feeling about people that live in Alaska is that they're very adventurous, cutting edge, edgy, outdoorsy, yep. Love God's beauty. Is that you?
That's me. Right. I'd love it. I've been here about 15 years, but it just opened up a whole new world for us, so our families enjoyed it.
The way I like to describe Alaska, two ways. It's God showing off, and you can breathe deeper there than any other place in the world.
Exactly.
So, what's going on, Paul?
Yeah, the question I have is I have two grandchildren and a son-in-law in Ohio, and I'm here in Anchorage, and I'm trying to figure the best way to support them. That's my question. Kind of the details behind that is my wife had passed away about 9 years ago today, and during that time, my daughter had gotten pregnant with this gentleman.
Okay.
And during that time?
Premature baby.
What do you mean during that time?
Well, during the time that my wife was dying of cancer.
Oh, I see.
So it was been kind of a... So they ended up getting married. Then, almost 2 years ago in April, my daughter died on the operating table for gallbladder surgery.
Mm. Oh, no.
And I'm left trying to help my son-in-law. And he doesn't have a high school education. And he's living with his dad. And they come from a really big, broken family. It's have another daughter who lives in Ohio that tries to help out the best she can by going to school, but the kids are kind of just farmed
out. She lives near them?
Yes, about an hour and a half away.
And how old is she?
25.
Okay, so what's the big question for us? We're really sorry about what's happened with you there.
Yeah, I guess I'm part of me wants to move down there, but I'm 57 years old. I'm working here, have a life here.
Mm-hmm.
If I go down there, it's going to be very expensive trying to sell my house, trying to find a job at my age. But I want to try to give more stability to my grandchildren, even though I may have a chance to getting them this summer. My son-in-law called me and said he wants me to have them this summer, which I'm excited about doing that.
How old are they?
9 and almost 3. Be 3 in June.
Rarely do I have a statement that I'm quite confident with, but I'm confident with this next one, okay?
Okay.
I would put off any thoughts or obsessions about this. I'd have the kids come up for the summer and just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And after they're there, you might decide, you know what, this is worth me leaving Alaska in a second. These are, you know, I want to be so prepared. Or it might be, I've got to get him up here somehow.
Well,
or whatever. But you're really going to have some better insight into yourself and them and the relationship after they come in the summer. I would just welcome them with open arms.
I had them 2 years ago, right after my daughter died. I felt like I needed to get them up here, and he was willing to let me do that. And we had them here. At the time, I had three of my daughters here with me, or two of my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
One daughter's here with me now, too. But... it worked out great. Matter of fact, I begged my son-in-law, please let me just keep them here and just help. You know, we finally got everything seemed to be clicking. They seemed to be happy. But he wanted them back. So I said, well, they're your kids, and, you know, by all means. And I got them back there. But my son-in-law, my grandson at the time, looked at me at the airport and said, Grandpa, am I going to be okay? And it just, you know, I told him that, yeah, you know, he would be okay, but, you know, we would stay in contact, which he's struggling in school right now. He's not, nobody's helping him with his homework. I've been in contact with the teachers. I've been down there for all the meetings and, you know, at different times, and then I have to call them at times, but there's just no support.
Okay. Man, that is heart-wrenching. I want to tell you a story. I'm not trying to guilt you into moving down there, but I have a couple friends that they have an amazing home on a bunch of acres right outside of a town, not in this state. They have these kids, these great kids, and rather than live outside of town in their great home, huge and great property, they now live in a condo that they rent across the street from the school in town. And one day, the nine-year-old boy says to his dad, "Dad, did you guys move into town just for us?" And Dad said, "Well, yeah. I mean, we wanted you to be close to your school." And the little boy says, "Are you serious, Dad? That's the only reason is us?" "Yeah, that's why we're across the street from the school." And I don't think any emails or letters or phone calls will ever, ever amount to that kind of move that that mom and dad did for those kids. I think, well, already, I mean, you can just see it's having an amazing impact. And I think God honors all of those kinds of moves. If you do decide to go there because that's your only choice and that's what you decide to do, oh, there'll be great, great rewards for you in heaven and fulfillment. But these kids, it sounds like they really do need somebody to step up for them. That's Henry, your thoughts on this and them coming this summer, and where do you go from here?
Well, Paul, first thing, I have a way of thinking about this. That kind of says, I don't think that you'll make a bad decision either way, or whatever answer you find, because I just want to say God bless you for your heart. You know, that you you care about them and that you're trying to wrestle with what the best thing to do is, and that you want to be committed to them, and however you choose to do it, You and God will work out all the details. But I would just, I think of that verse. It says that a man's heart establishes his path, and then God directs his steps.
Oh, wow.
And so I would just encourage you to embrace your heart for these children. Take that heart to God. Take that heart on every phone call. Take that heart to, you know, this whole summer. And I think you'll find the right, you know, you'll find the right answer. And there's a lot of good answers, you know. And some of them involve moving, and some don't. And them moving there and different times, or resources that other resources that you help them find back there. You know, there's a lot of answers.
Yeah. Well, that's such a confirmation to what I've been praying about, and I've been listening to you guys, like I said, and I get such insights and such great wisdom. And then I thought, well, I need to call and find out. And I called in earlier and just to talk to someone, and they said, well, I think this would be a good question for the guys on the air.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I appreciate it.
It's not one we get often.
No.
Yeah, but it's just, I do love them, and I God has just been reassuring me that He is in control. And I just wanted to know if there was anything else I could do, and I thought, well, I'll talk to you guys and see if I'm leaning the right direction, and I just know that God's going to work it out, but He's helped me so far through all the stuff that I've gone through. It's been amazing that I still, you know, trust Him and love Him, but I felt I had no other choice thanks to Him. So.
Well, we appreciate your heart, and I do want to verify that from everything I've seen, God is in control. That it, I have not found anything else or anyone else to be that. And what a great relief that is. Thank you for calling. I'm going to send you Raising Great Kids. I hope that'll be a blessing to you.
And, man, wish more guys were like you. Let's go over here to Sarah from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Sarah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm okay.
What's going on?
I'm afraid to make a serious decision for my life's future.
Okay.
I am in a relationship with my fiancé. We've been dating for about 3.5 years. I graduated college. He was in college for a little bit longer. He is a little younger than I am. And
how much younger?
He's 23 and I'm 26. And I have a lot of issues in this relationship. He's been trying to make a lot of progress, and he really has made a lot of progress, but I'm dealing with a lot of trust issues. I really don't trust him at all. Basically, the first several years we were dating, when he was still in college, he had a senior or junior and senior years left, and he would act inappropriately with other girls and things like that. And then when he graduated from college, he hasn't done anything against me since then. But this past October, we went to the Christian conference for the weekend. It was the weekend, remember, of his family life, and he seemed to have a change of heart and actually told me about things that he had done behind my back with other girls, cheating on me and such, that weekend. And then that was the weekend he seemed to...
Wait, he told you that weekend about other instances, or he cheated that weekend?
He told me about other instances that weekend that he had done that were full-fledged cheating. Not just acting inappropriately, it was actually full-fledged cheating.
Okay. Now, what's the question for us then?
Basically, I don't know if I should pursue this relationship. I wanted to start a family and get married. We're already engaged. But I got engaged with him that weekend because I thought that was the right thing to do, was forgive him and move forward.
Whoa. You got... Hold on a second. When he told you that he had been cheating, you got engaged?
We went to the conference and then broke for lunch.
Yeah.
And then he told me about that stuff, and then we went back to the next session, and it was all about forgiveness and couples moving forward with their lives and things like that. And I kind of felt that God was giving me a message to forgive him. And since he hadn't done anything since he got into college, which was about over a year before we went to the conference, that if he'd been, at least faithful in that way that long, that I should forgive him and try to move forward, since he had said that he accepted God that weekend. And so I really hoped that that was the case, and I thought, well, we'll see how things change going forward.
I got a question for you here.
Go ahead.
Do you think you could have forgiven him and not gotten engaged at that? Could have been okay?
Yeah, I guess I was just kind of overwhelmed that, I was so happy with how he seemed to change that weekend.
Mm-hmm. How about this? When he revealed to you that he was unfaithful, you've put 3+ years into this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Down deep inside, in a place you couldn't even recognize it, there was this thing that said, oh my gosh, I may lose this guy to somebody else. I better get engaged. I better lock this up, wrap it up. I better get him. And so, at a time when you would have pushed back in normal circumstances and said, I forgive you, but I need to see what you're going to do. Are you going to get some help? Instead of doing that, you pull forward and said, let's wrap it up, man. Let's get engaged. You see the difference?
Yeah.
See how that could have been something down inside that wasn't all so healthy and God-based? Like, oh, I should forgive him, so go ahead and get engaged?
Yeah.
So what's the question for
us?
Can
I get one more clarifier here, Sarah?
Sure.
You said that he confessed all this to you, and how long had it been since he had been unfaithful before this confession?
A little over a year. He said he wasn't really sure if he should told me, and more recently we had an argument, and he said that I would have been happier and trusted him more if he never would have told me. So I'm really not sure if he really, will be trustworthy going forward.
Yeah, and how long ago was this retreat?
It was this past October, the last weekend of October.
Okay. All right, hang on. We got to go to a break, but we want to talk to you on the other side. It's a great step when a guy does that, when he comes clean.
That's right.
And that's a really trustworthy move.
Yeah.
But that doesn't equal trustworthiness. There are some other things that would have to be in the picture as well.
And you're going to tell us what those are after this? All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Well, we're talking to Sarah. Fiance confesses at a family life conference. He's been unfaithful. She feels like, in an act of forgiveness, she should get engaged.
So, Sarah?
Yes.
What's gone on since October? That would cause you to say, I made a good decision. He really is trustworthy. I want to go forward.
What's given me the reason to think that?
Yeah, what's it look like since the big confession?
Well, he's been a little bit more willing to go to church. He still doesn't want to read the Bible and doesn't believe it's God's word. And when we first started dating, I really thought that he was a Christian, and we agreed on everything. But
well, why are you
otherwise?
Hold on, you're wanting to be engaged to a guy that doesn't believe the Bible's God's word.
Well,
it makes me wonder why you would call us.
Well, I guess I'm afraid to make decisions that I think might really affect me. Because we're financially interdependent right now. I'm still looking for another job, and I have a lot of. Emotion and finances and commitment wrapped up in this relationship, and I'm afraid to, I guess,
not as many as you'll have if you get married.
Very true. And that's another thing too. We both come from broken families and we've never wanted a divorce, but I'm afraid to make the wrong decision.
I think you're not afraid to make the wrong decision. I think you're looking for an easy decision.
Maybe.
Because you've made some wrong decisions. I mean, here you're calling a Christian program, right?
Yes.
You know we're all Christians.
Yes.
And you're wanting to know if you made the right thing to go forward with a guy that doesn't believe the Bible is God's word. That's tough for me to get over.
I didn't really know that until after the conference, because he was great for the first month or so. He actually wanted to pray with me and things like that, but since then he's been kind of dragging his feet.
But see, if I was dating somebody and they said, I don't think Bible's God's word, I'd go, whoa, I kind of thought we were headed the same direction. We saw the world the same way. Obviously, we don't. Let's don't be engaged, and let's kind of back off of this thing and see where it goes. But he said, I've been unfaithful, and he got engaged. He said, I don't believe the Bible is God's word, and you just kept moving forward there.
And you kind of find that you're on different spiritual tracks, right? That you kind of got a push to get him to go to church. And
I guess one of the big things right now, too, besides that, I mean, all of that's the biggest stuff, but right now, also, I made the mistake of allowing him to move in with me, and now we're living in his mom's house because she moved to Florida. And basically, if, you know, we stayed here and got married, we'd be able to get the house in the deal and be able to go forward with our lives and actually be more financially secure. But this is... No, I'm really not sure that this is the right way to go.
You're not sure?
Well, I mean, I don't want to cause him to fall further away from God because this is the closest he's ever been to God.
Come on. Let's be realistic.
Sarah, listen. Let's think about this for a second. We want him to come close to God, too.
Yep.
And there are a lot of people who want him to come close to God. And would want to minister to him. But you don't necessarily marry a ministry, right? If he's going to be your ministry, and that's one question. The person you're going to marry is a different question. You've kind of put those two together, right?
Yeah.
And what we would be concerned about for you and for him, you know, if he were here, we'd be saying the same thing, is that marriage is a life direction setting decision. Okay? When you decide to marry someone, you have
really, really signed up for something that is going to change the direction of everything that you do. How you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your energy, how you spend your heart, how you think, how you raise kids. It's just you, the two become one. And so it's really good that if people are going to become one, that they're going down the same road. They're going in the same direction in life. You follow me?
Yes.
Jesus called it, or Paul used the term actually, don't be unequally yoked. And that yoking thing is something they do to oxen. You know, they put a yoke, they yoke them together. And if one of them's trying to turn left and the other's turning right, it is just a mess. And what happens is when people get married and they don't have the same views about huge, huge issues, especially God, then they're always going on different directions. What are you going to do, for example, when y'all get your first, you know, discretionary money and you're wanting to give to the poor, to give to God's work, or to give to a church, and he's wanting to do a remodel with it, which is not a bad thing, but you're in different directions. Or it's Sunday morning and you're wanting to go to church and he wants to go fishing. Fishing's not a bad thing, but you're going in different directions.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said that he's willing to go to church with me in order to move the relationship forward, but
that's the wrong reason to want to go to church with.
Well, that's how I feel, too, but I'm not really sure how... Like, I can't change his heart or his mind, but
no,
I'm so worried about him.
No. You can change your heart and mind, and you can say, you know what, I love you and I care about you, and I want to be whatever I can be to help you, but this getting married thing, you know, we might have to put that on hold until we're in the same boat. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All righty. Anything else we want to say for Sarah here before we move on?
Well, yeah, Sarah, we just want you to tune into your heart,
yeah,
and listen to yourself. And just look at what's going on. And is that the kind of marriage that you want to have? That's the, you know, when you're choosing someone to marry and you're engaged, you have to ask yourself, is this what I want life to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and I really don't want my marriage to look like life looks like right now.
Right, and so you just be clear about that. And you get some people to support you. And then, you know, he's got some decisions to make. But I wouldn't immediately, just because he said, okay, I'll go to church, that's not really the sign that you need. What you need is, you would need a whole new arena of time where he is really real with his faith and going in the same direction as you, not just a weekend or, you know, going to church a couple of times. You would have to see a sustained period of time where you guys are on the same page. And I'm saying this for his sake as well. Because he would want to be married, I hope, to someone that's on the same page as him.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to tell you this. If you don't start making some tough decisions, I think you might be on the same page. Because you're both kind of saying that the faith issues aren't really that important. In other words, you're making decisions based on your feelings, not on what's the right thing to do, right?
I guess that's the right way, yeah.
Yeah, so start doing that. Start doing the right thing and see where that leads you.
Well, I guess out of faith, I would have to just start going to church by myself and, you know, move forward with my faith.
Well, you'd probably want to move out, wouldn't you think? Not live together if that was... Wouldn't that be
yeah.
kind of, wouldn't that just be horribly tough for you to do?
Definitely. I'm just afraid of what if I don't have a job and I can't pay for rent somewhere else.
Right.
I'm trying to.
But see here, I think a lot of your difficulty gets straightened out when you're willing to say, no matter what, I have to make some changes here.
Okay.
And so rather than say I can't do this because of that or that, you start looking at how could I do that? How in the world could I do that? What are my options? That's a totally different thing than, oh, I'm out of a job. I don't. There are options. And there may be some you'd want to take if you'll look into it. And we're sorry you're going through this. I really sense you want things to be better. Now you have to go from want to willing. And that's a tough, tough leap for all of us. I'm going to send you Henry's book, Boundaries. I hope it'll be great. And I'm going to send you a copy of the book, Healing is a Choice, and I hope that you'll like that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, anybody else wants it. Let's go over here to Shanika from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Shanika. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. What's going on with you?
I have a question about dating a newly saved Christian. I've been a Christian like 4 years. I'm not dating him. But it was this guy that liked me years ago, even before I got saved. But I never gave him the time of day because I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And why weren't you interested?
I was dealing with someone else, I guess. And I guess I just wasn't interested in him. I didn't see any good in him then. I just wasn't interested because I guess my mind was focused on someone else.
Okay.
And he's actually my sister's baby's father's brother.
Sister,
and
baby,
we actually
father's
hung out with the baby father because that's pretty much.
In other words, if everybody's married, it'd be your brother-in-law.
Yeah, and we actually hung out one weekend, and that's how he got to know him. He liked me and my personality, whatever.
Okay.
Speed it up. I just led him back to the Lord. He had been saved before and backslid, and I didn't know this like 3 years ago. And I led him back to the Lord.
Whoa. I'm sorry. You're talking a little fast. You led him back to the Lord. You said he's been saved before.
Yes, I found this out after I led him back to the Lord maybe a couple of weeks ago. And then after talking to him, I found out he told me that he had been saved before, but he had backslidden during the time because we weren't talking or anything like that. That's what he said before.
There's a little problem with that statement, but go ahead. If he was saved before, he was saved, but go ahead.
Okay, the issue is he wants to go further in the dating thing, but I am hesitant because I know he just got saved, and I know he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't know how to be a Christian godly man right now, and he's just not, you know, found in the Word yet. I understand about the man being ahead, and so I'm not rushing. I'm just being a training minister to him, just seeing him as a brother in Christ and encouraging him in Scripture and, you know, stuff like that, but I'm not going further with that, but... I was
Shanika,
just wanting to know.
You are so brilliant. Why are you calling us? You
we're
are amazing.
Agree with you, right?
Do you have a question?
I guess I want to know that if I, because he's a good guy, he's always been a good guy. I was wanting to know if I was to consider dating him or whatever, like just taking time, you know, to build a course or something have to be long. Well, something would be wrong if I chose to date him maybe a year out or something.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about
a year out.
Yeah, because I want to give him time to get to know the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, without any distractions.
Well, why don't you see who he is in a year? Listen, it's not... it's not, you know, some formula of, you know, this amount of time or whatever. What you're talking about is somebody that you want to date seriously. Now, I don't care if it depends on what you mean by dating, but if you're talking about your heart getting involved.
Right. Courtship.
You what?
Right. Heart getting involved. Because he wants to date in with a possibility of marriage. He's already told me that.
Well,
I was
that's,
like, no.
That's really.
We gotta be friends.
That,
you know,
no,
you
stop.
Don't even know each other.
Stop.
You know,
stop. Okay, just listen for a moment.
Okay.
The concept of just, you know, picking somebody you haven't even dated, you don't even know them, and saying, you know, I'm gonna date you to marry them, that's, you know, kind of cart before the horse. But here's the question. If you're going to get your heart involved with somebody, you want your heart involved with somebody where you're equally yoked, right?
Right.
And so, is it okay to date him in a year? We don't know. Tell him to call you in a year and tell you where he is. And then if he's got a year of really, you know, on the path, he's a different person than he is now.
Okay.
So, you know, spiritual is as spiritual does. If you're looking for a spiritual man, then maybe in a year he'll be one. Right now he's got a good start, sounds like. But
right.
So reality is what reality is. So whoever knocks on your door, then ask what the reality is and ask yourself, is that a reality that I want to join?
But we are really proud that you didn't take this approach. Well, now that he's a Christian, he's a right. really good guy, it's and I'm going to jump in. We are so excited. For every Shanika, there are 17 non-Shanikas who would see that as an opportunity to start dating this guy. So thank you for your integrity in that area and your wisdom. Amazing. Do you feel the pat on the back, Shanika?
Yeah.
Okay, so in a year, like Henry's saying, then in a year, you consider what's happened. But here's what I would do. I would talk with him. Maybe he doesn't know some things that could be available. Like, have you thought about a discipleship relationship with another man who just meets with you every week and kind of talks you through some stuff? You know, you might just suggest some things that he might not be aware of.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of Healing Sands, the novel. I hope you'll like that, and God bless you. Let's go to Lynn from Marion, Indiana. Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. What is going on in your life today that we could help you with?
Well, the other day I was listening, and there was a man on there, which he's dating this lady, and I don't remember the names, but it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, she didn't like the way he wanted to go to, or he may go to the fitness center to work out with his buddy.
Right.
Because she was very insecure.
Yeah.
But also, I want to let you know, it really bugged me and it upset me too. But I think, in my thought, I think 50% of going to a fitness center as a single person, it's like a non-alcoholic place for a pickup for singles that don't go to bars drinking.
Okay, it can be that. We agree.
But what about...
Whoa. If she really loves him and he really loves her, he won't make that point of hooking up with somebody, too.
We didn't suggest that he go hook up.
No, we did not.
Why don't you hold on? I'd love to talk about this.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more... New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we would love that. Love to help you. Right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Final segment coming up. Hang on. Hope to get to a couple of you there.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Talking with Lynn, and Henry, you had a question you want to start off with.
Lynn, we want to make sure that we're understanding you right. What your point about going to a gym is what?
I think about 50% of the people that go to gyms are there to look for a mate.
Look for a mate?
Yeah.
Like single people trying to meet people.
Somebody to date.
Is that bad?
Well, yeah, in some ways it can be, in some ways it can't be.
Okay, so it depends on the person, probably.
Right.
Okay.
But the lady that had made, or that had, was worried about her boyfriend going, was insecure about it. She doesn't trust him yet. But
yeah, she was also insecure about he goes to lunch with a group of friends from work, and she was also insecure about there was another he was on a missions trip, I think, and walking down the street, and a group of schoolgirls came up to sell him stuff, and she was insecure that he would talk to a group of young girls on a street on a mission trip, I think it was.
Well, that there, I wouldn't worry about that. If she's worried about that, then she probably needs to feel better about herself.
Yeah, that's kind of what we said.
Yeah.
So what is your, you wanted to make a point?
Yeah. Is it okay to make a point?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
what point would you like to make?
We just wanted to clarify that we're talking about the same things here.
Yeah. I mean, I figured it should be okay for me to make a point.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't think everybody goes there to exercise.
I agree.
Some go there to...
But we don't want
relation, but
sure. But we don't want to penalize the ones that actually go there,
right,
to work out and be healthy.
But you know, if she trusts him, and she should trust him, and if he really loves her, he's just there to work out, and that's that.
Right. But see, that wasn't the issue. He was kind of saying, "I want to go work out," but she's assumed, kind of like you are, that if he's there, it's a bad thing.
I can understand in her situation because I had, I'm married, and sometimes one stray, which they shouldn't, because I look at it this way, when you walk down the aisle and you say, I do, that I do should be forever with that one person.
It should be.
You know, you'd have a hard time getting any argument out of any
agree
of
with
people
that.
Here.
We probably, it sounds like, though, underneath the surface, we have a, maybe we would think that people could go to a gym and work out and still keep their marriage vows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I have actually gone to a gym and worked out, and rather than lust after and connect with other people, left grateful for who I'm married to.
Yep, and I wish it could happen like that with everybody.
Because this particular gym, these people were not in shape. Let's just say that. It was not a matter of integrity on my part. It was just a matter of, you know, they were really struggling. And so I think what Henry...
Yeah, the beauty is with them. It shouldn't matter what shape you're in.
But see, now there's a different issue that you're getting off on. I was talking about the lust issue. Now, if you'd like to switch over and make a point about how what a person looks like on the outside doesn't matter, I would love to talk to you about that. Because I would argue that it does matter what a person looks like on the outside. Did you know that?
No.
Well, if you don't think that, ask the children of somebody who's 400 pounds whether or not it matters what mom and dad looks like.
Well,
ask an employer.
There, yeah.
Ask
that
an employer.
Would matter there when they're 400 pounds.
Ask an employer if it matters what somebody looks like. Ask a spouse if it matters. So that point I would make is that sometimes we take this spiritual platitude of only what's on the inside matters, and we forget that, you know, our body is a temple that matters to God, and some people need to remodel the temple. Some need to downsize the temple.
Right. Well, I didn't know it was going to be like a 400-pound person.
they are there. You know, one of the greatest victories of New Life is this woman who, I don't know, I think she was 450 pounds, and she got a trainer and went to that gym, and I think she's lost half her body weight. I mean,
that's great.
It's incredible. So those are the kind of people that are there too.
Now I want to move on to your second point as well. I think you said that if he loved her, he wouldn't go. Is that what you said?
if he loved her, he wouldn't not go. If he loved her, he would not go there to find somebody else.
Oh, well, of course.
He would go there to work out.
Okay, of course. I thought you said if he loved her, he wouldn't even go to the gym. And that brought up a bigger issue that was involved with the work thing and the shopping thing and all of that. That every couple's going to have issues, okay? Every couple has issues. In this instance, she has some insecurity issues.
Yeah.
But what we were saying was that he should be a bridge to helping her see she's got some insecurity issues and help her and support her in working through those instead of adapting to those issues.
There you go.
That's codependency, and that keeps her stuck.
Yep. All right. So glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Being Christian. I hope it'll be a great blessing to you. Hey, I received a letter from a woman, and if you've heard me speak recently, you'll know why this is important to me. Her husband is the manager of the St. Augustine, Florida, Outback Steakhouse. And she says that if I ever come, they'll buy dinner for me, and they will not order the blooming onion blossom, which I have said may kill someone. But anyway, here's what she said. She found out some things, and then all of a sudden, they got counseling, and they got plugged into a church after they called us, and they made the choice to work together with their issues, and they are very happily married today, and they continue in counseling. So here's a couple that realizes something could be better. They call us, they get counseling, and she's just writing to say, hey, thanks. And maybe she's actually making me feel guilty about saying anything about Outback Steakhouse, because I love Outback Steakhouse, but it was just a joke. But anyway, how ironic. Hey, if you need a counselor, we've got counselors for you. And you could go from struggling and being confused to knowing exactly what you need to do next. You can find that out at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the place to call. And if you could help us, you know, here's what we do. We try to transform people's lives through the New Life Weekend, through Every Man's Battle. But I don't know of anything more powerful than just people that call and say, okay, let me try a counselor. One of the things that is consistent about this program is that when people call us, there is often a confusion about the difference between what do I do and what do I believe. And I believe that it is in clarity that we lay the foundation for things that we do to be congruent with the things that we think and the things that we feel. We need clarity on that, and that's what we hope to do right here. We thank you. I hope that you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and just ask us, could you help me? What would you suggest? Because there are people that want to help you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's all they do. And if you can help us, I hope you'll call and just say, okay, I want to help you. I'll do it. Thank you for listening today. Thanks for all you do for us. We love you. We care about you. That's what we mean when we say we love you. We really care that you're there right now and you're listening. It means a lot to us. And we'll be praying for you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.